Okay, let's dive into this, especially if you're prepping for your Connect group at Harmony this week. The focus is Kent's latest message, Experiencing God Through Sacrificial Living. It was pretty deep.
It really was. We've sort of gathered all the key points here to hopefully give you a clear path through it for your discussions.
Kent definitely kicked it off with his usual, high energy, that whole bit about the late night drive back from Kansas, the cowboy coffee.
Yeah, the yeehaw and high fives. Classic Kent.
But he shifted gears pretty fast, didn't he? Moved right past the humor.
He did. He pivoted straight into the really serious question that his friend asked him on that trip to Seattle, the Guys Gone Wild food trip.
Right, eating lots of food, not actual wildness.
Exactly. And that friend's question just cut through everything. It was, when was the last time you experienced God?
Ooh. Yeah. That's a question that really makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Like, is my faith just head knowledge or something real?
Precisely. It sets the stage for the whole sermon. It forces you to evaluate.
So our mission here today really is to unpack the two big things Paul talks about in Romans 12. The pathways Kent laid out for actually making space for those experiences with God.
The non-negotiables, basically. Ways to cultivate a life where experiencing God isn't just like a random miracle, but something possible.
And Kent really hammered home why this is so important, sharing that super raw story from the Seattle trip
Yeah.
about the phone call.
Oh, yeah, the sudden anxiety attack. It sounded overwhelming.
It did. And in that moment, he needed God.
Yeah.
Like right then and there. Not theory, but actual peace.
And what's so powerful is what he did. He didn't reach for some, complicated spiritual discipline. He remembered that advice from Alice, the 90-year-old woman.
Just putting his hand on the shower wall.
Yeah, in the middle of this anxiety spiral in the shower, just saying, Jesus, I need you. That basic.
And it worked.
Yeah.
He described the peace just washing over him, that the shower became holy ground. An incredible picture of God meeting him right there.
It really is. But here's the key thing, and this is important for your connect groups. Ken was really clear this isn't an everyday thing, even for him, a pastor.
Right. He didn't want people feeling pressured, thinking they're failures if they haven't had some huge dramatic moment like that.
Exactly. He shared it to relieve that pressure, especially for folks who've been in church maybe for years and think, I've never felt anything like that.
So the goal isn't chasing some big emotional high or magic.
Not at all. It's about cultivating the conditions, creating the kind of life where you're open and aligned for God to work however he chooses.
Okay, so if we want to cultivate that, how does it actually work?
Yeah.
This is where Kent brought in that idea of spiritual physics.
Yeah, I loved that analogy. There's an order to the spiritual world, just like the physical world. You drop a Bible, it goes down. Gravity, it's predictable.
You don't drop it hoping it floats up.
Right. But we sometimes treat spiritual life like it's totally random.
Yeah.
Kent's point was, no, God has set up an order. Experiencing him isn't just chance, it follows certain principles.
And following that order, those principles, that leads to living inside of God's will, which then brought up that Dallas Willard quote.
Ah, yes, Willard. Amazing writer, incredibly deep, but sometimes maybe a little hard to grasp.
Definitely. And that quote he used, God wants to get you to the point where he can empower you to do whatever you want. That sounds risky.
It does, taken out of context. It sounds like, hey, just want stuff and God will give it to you, like
Right.
a cosmic vending machine.
Yeah, like the prosperity gospel or something. But that wasn't the point at all, was it?
Not even close. Kent spent a good chunk of time on this, which is vital. Willard is talking about spiritual maturity. God's goal isn't to just give you stuff, it's to change you.
To fix your wanter, as Kent put it.
Exactly, to reshape your heart and desires so that what you naturally want, what you genuinely long for, is already lined up with what God wants. Deep alignment.
Like good parenting. You don't
Yeah.
give a toddler everything they scream for.
Right, but when they grow up and ask for something good and right, you're happy to give it. God wants us to mature so our wanting is aligned with his good purposes. Then he can empower those desires.
Okay, that reframes the whole finding God's will thing. It's not about getting my plan stamped with approval.
Precisely. And Kent gave two big shifts to help with that. First, change the question. Instead of, what's God's will for my life? ask.
What is God up to? Like, what's he already doing in the world, and how can I join in?
Exactly. Focus on his big picture, not just your tiny corner.
Yeah.
And the second shift was about the image of his will.
Right. Not a tightrope, a narrow line you're terrified of falling off.
No, more like a big backyard, a circle, mm-hmm. a boundary. God says, play anywhere in here, just, you know, stay out of the street. There's freedom within loving limits.
That's so much less stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so understanding that order, that alignment, that fixed wanter, that sets us up for Romans 12.
It does. Now we get to the how-to, Paul's instructions.
And you got to remember the context, right? Paul just spent 11 chapters talking about God's incredible mercy, creation, sin, Jesus' death, the whole story.
So when Romans 12.1 starts with, therefore, it's huge. It means, because of all that amazing mercy I just told you about.
Here's what you do.
Right. Therefore, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
A living sacrifice. That must have sounded completely bizarre to the original readers.
Mm.
Sacrifices were, well, dead.
Completely. It's an oxymoron. It means something ongoing, continuous. Kent talked about it as constantly having to crawl back up on the altar.
Meaning you're always choosing to die to your own stuff. Your needs, your comfort, your desires.
Over and over. It's not a one-time decision. It's a daily, moment-by-moment yielding of yourself, your body, your life back to God.
And that, Kent said, is real worship. Not just singing songs on Sunday.
Important as that is. But true worship is becoming like the one you worship. Becoming like Jesus. That's what Christian or little Christ actually means.
Living out that sacrificial love.
Which is where it gets really hard. Kent said the true mark isn't just being moral. Lots of people are moral.
He said it was being guided by love, radical love, the kind that makes you pray for people who hurt you.
Yeah, he said that's so much harder than being moral. That's the living sacrifice in action.
And this connects directly to that phrase Kent uses at Harmony, being shockingly generous.
Yes, and he broadened it out, didn't he? Not just money, though that's part of it.
Time, talents, resources, and personality.
Mm-hmm.
That one always gets me.
That's often the toughest one, isn't it? How do you apply shockingly generous with your personality on, like, a random Tuesday morning?
When you're tired or dealing with someone difficult at work?
It means choosing to give grace when you feel like being annoyed. Choosing kindness over your own comfort. Prioritizing someone else's dignity over your need to be right or recognized. That's laying down yourself on the altar in that moment.
Wow. Okay. That's pathway one. The living sacrifice.
Which leads straight into pathway two in the very next verse, Romans 12.2.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Makes sense. You can't live sacrificed if your brain is still running on the world's operating system.
Exactly. And Kent's analogy for conformity was that cross-stitching project, Garfield.
Yeah, trying to do it without the pattern. You end up with a messed up, warped Garfield.
That's what happens when we just absorb the world's patterns. Our lives get warped, distorted. We don't look like the original design anymore.
So conformity warps us. Transformation fixes it. How does that happen? The mind renewal part.
He used the hot tub analogy for that, remember?
Oh yeah, the dirty water.
The world constantly fills our minds with junk, right? Sediment, cultural pressures, wrong ways of thinking. You don't just clean it once.
You have to keep flushing it out.
Constantly. Keep filling it with clean water, God's word, his perspective, and letting the dirty stuff drain away. Again and again, it's a process.
An intentional process.
Mm.
Which brought us to the big challenge Kent issued. The practical how-to for mind renewal. Crucial for Connect group notes here.
The 30-day challenge. Very specific.
Action. Read one chapter of the New Testament. Every single day. For 30 days straight.
Simple, but not easy. He suggested starting in the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, John, or Mark, if you need a quicker read, he joked.
But the intent was the main thing, wasn't it? It's not just ticking a box on a checklist.
Absolutely not. The point is to go into that reading asking, God, who are you? Show me your heart. To really seek him through the text, setting your eyes on Jesus.
That's how you flesh out the sediment, fill up with the clean water, by focusing on him.
And notice the order Paul uses. Living sacrifice first, then renewed mind. Then what happens?
Only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
You can't discern the will until the heart is offered up, sacrifice, and the mind is being reshaped, renewal. The alignment has to happen first.
So wrapping it up for the Connect groups.
Mm.
The two big takeaways, the pathways to potentially experiencing God more, are sacrificial living.
Constantly crawling back on the altar, being shockingly generous.
And mind renewal.
Filling up with scripture daily, asking, who are you, God? letting him change your thinking.
Which leads to that final kind of convicting point Kent made.
The spiritual malnutrition idea. If you're only feeding yourself spiritually once a week at church,
it's like only eating one physical meal a week. Mm. You can't thrive like that. You won't be aligned. You won't likely experience much.
It boils down to that fundamental question. Are you really seeking God with all your heart?
Because the promise is right there in Scripture. If you seek him that way,
he will be found. It's a guarantee.
So that's really the challenge for everyone listening, especially as you meet in your connect groups. That urgency Kent finished with.
Yeah, don't leave that chair without doing some business with him. It was a call to decision.
Are you actually willing to take this seriously, to do the 30-day challenge, to make God truly first, not just, you know, a backup plan for emergencies?
That decision, that commitment to seek him wholeheartedly through sacrifice and renewal, Kent says that's the real starting line for a life where you can truly experience God.